You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
What the flip, Lamb Goaters? It's your boy Lurk. I'm the host of the Van Flip Podcast, and welcome to the show. You know, over the weekend, we had our two-year anniversary. That's right. We've been doing the podcast now for 2 years. We are on episode 49 right now, and I have to kind of make a little announcement. Me and Alex had decided to do a special kind of episode for episode number 50 to commemorate our 2 years of doing the podcast. So we're going to have like a ask me anything kind of questions for Lamb Goat, for Alex, for me, whomever you want to ask. We'll also talk about our favorite episodes over the years. I'm going to invite JP on. He's the camera guy, but he's also been with me on, I don't know, most of the podcasts that we were doing outside of the pandemic. He also has done a couple episodes with me during the pandemic with a couple bands. So that's been cool too. But we're going to get all that situated and we'll be able to do that next week. So be on the lookout. Check lambgoat.com for the Ask Me Anything or the poll to, you know, find out which, I guess what we'll do is I'll create a poll is what I'm saying. I'll create a poll and then you guys can vote on your favorite episode for the last 2 years. So you have 49 episodes, including this one, to kind of choose from. So that's neat. Also, there's going to be some kind of announcements per se on that podcast. So definitely tune in next week. And on that note, if you're a returning listener and you listen to us week after week after week, we greatly appreciate the continued support of the show. We hope you keep coming back forever and ever. We'll keep making these as long as you guys keep listening. And if you're new to the show and this is your first time checking out an episode, hey, what's up? Take a look around. You like what you see? If you dig the content, definitely go ahead and hit the subscribe button or give us a rating and a review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. It greatly helps us out in the algorithm world of the podcasting. And the last thing you can do to help us out being new around here is share us with your friends. Tell them you listen to the Lamb Goat podcast and you love the Van Flip. And speaking of Lamb Goat, if you're ever on that thing called the internet, make sure you visit lambgoat.com for everything hardcore, metal, and for all that. Just visit lambgoat.com. Follow us on social media. Give us a like on Facebook and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Lambgoat. Head over to Lambgoat's YouTube page and you can check out all of these episodes in video format plus bonus Lambgoat content. While you're there, make sure you hit the subscribe button and that alert bell so you're always notified when we release new episodes of the Van Flip and Lambgoat content. And if you want to follow me, Lurk, the host of the show, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at LurkCity, LurkCity. And on this episode of the show, I am joined by David Bland. David is the drummer for Full of Hell, but he also is the mastermind behind Jarhead Fertilizer. And Jarhead just put out an album last month, Product of My Environment, on Closed Casket Activities. So go check that out. Now, before we get into the actual episode, I want to go ahead and shout out David and tell him thank you personally for coming on the show that week that we recorded this. I know he had a bunch of stuff going on with his family and personal life that he didn't really have to take the time out of his day to talk to me or to be on the podcast, but I greatly appreciate it, man. And I know that life won't ever be the same, but it will continually get better. And I hope nothing but the best for you, your family, your bands, and your projects. And with that being said, let's start the show.
Oh yeah, what's this? I feel this. Oh yeah, this is stuff. Oh no. Oh no.
Lamb Goat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
What is up? Welcome back to the show. I am once again joined by a guest. Today, I am joined by David. So it is the David and David podcast because my real name is David, but I go by Lurk. Your name's David and you go by Jarhead from what I hear. And you are the front man for the band Jarhead Fertilizer.
And drummer.
And drummer. Okay, so you're one of the... You one of those dual role kind of guys. Do you have the Britney Spears mic?
No, I don't have that. We're working on something maybe though. Maybe something cool. I don't know. Sorry. I would love a hands-free mic, but you know, it's never like that. It's always like the mic will be flailing like far away while I'm trying to still play and like catch it, you know.
But interesting.
It is what it is.
Struggles. It's the struggles of life.
Yeah.
We just had on, I'm trying to remember which band. Gosh, we just had on, I don't know. We had a drummer on recently, and he was the singer too. Previously in the band, he was doing vocals or something like that, and he had a Britney Spears mic. That's why I asked.
Oh, I love it. I love this song. There's plenty of bands that pull that off, you know? It's like there's plenty of bands that pull off when it's all like Nocturnus, you know, their drummer. He's got a full-on Britney Spears mic while he's ripping. I love that.
It's so interesting because the only time I really ever saw that in like the scene, and this was like way early on, so I haven't really been paying attention, but From Autumn to Ashes had, you know, their drummer. I remember seeing them when they had a legit singer, like a legit frontman and the drummer singer, but I think at some point the drummer just took over altogether, but you don't see it that often.
No, it's never, but there's other bands that do like a, you know, like a mask situation, like Lightning Bolt. He's got like a, Ryan Chippendale's got some like crazy mask deal going on with like a telephone receiver. I think it's pretty cool. Yeah.
How hard is it to like do both of those things? Are you the sole vocalist or the main
vocalist? I'm like main vocalist.
Okay.
The guitar player, Sam, he does like some like pitch shifted vocals on the new record. And then our other guitar player, he also does some, Brandon, he also does like some of the vocals, but his is pretty different than mine, at least vocal sound. But for me, for the most part, I'm doing mainly all the vocals.
Cool. And how much of a like workout, or how strenuous and how hard and difficult is it to play this style of music, which we'll get into, but to play this style of music and handle the main vocal duties?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a completely different from just playing drums. Like my other band, Full of Hell, it's hard because that one's a little bit more technical, I feel like, with the drumming, but when I like go into a show for Jarhead, it's like compared to Full of Hell, it's like, it's so different just because like, you're like literally like gasping, you know, nonstop for air while you're playing. It's like, I'm blowing air out while playing. So to get those two to like work together and be on time, it's pretty crazy. I give it up to some of like the guitar players that are doing vocals and stuff. I mean, I know you're not like running around and stuff like that, but, and they like just to think and do vocals at the same time and like try to remember lyrics is a whole another game, you know?
Well, I think the same could be said about playing drums. I think a guitar player could say the same thing. I feel like it would be a little bit more difficult.
There's definitely a little bit more of like physical demand for it. You know, it's that's definitely there more than, you know, the other side, but it's hard. I definitely, but like, you know, a few days in the tour for Jarhead, I've noticed it's like no problem after that. Then I notice it's like way more comfortable. I get like easy. I mean, I'll be losing weight, but it's like, it's all good. You know?
Yeah. I was going to say, do you work out prior to tour to get ready for that?
I usually work out a decent amount. I'm like, you know, I'm pretty up on par with keeping fit, at least, you know. It just depends. Unless I'm some tours, I'll go into tour like I've been partying for a whole month, you know. Then I go into tour like that. And then sometimes I go in and I'm like, oh, I'm so fit, I'm ready, you know. I just, whatever. My life's up and down.
Yeah, it just depends if, you know, Mercury's in retrograde or something like that. And if you've been a night owl or not. So... The last kind of release that Jarhead did was, because this is your debut album, which technically comes out tomorrow when we're recording this, but it's been out for a couple of weeks now, and I'm sure you're getting all the accolades for it at this particular point when the listener is listening to it. But what's the big difference between the debut record, like the sound of the style of the debut record, compared to your previous singles and splits?
It's very different for sure.
Yeah.
The last release was 6 years ago. So the band has like just been slowly evolving. Basically the band started like as just a side project of mine, really, where I wanted to start something where I wrote everything in the band. So
when you say everything, like all music, like and all lyrics?
Like every single part of the band I write. So it's like lyrics, you know, all riffs. All the just, you know, curated. Those dudes add some stuff, you know, just like to things I present to them and everything. But it started really as my like my baby, basically, you know, my project. It's just a long slide of Full Hell, just something that I really write everything. But Full of Hell was doing so much at a certain point in time. I mean, for the last like a long last 10 years, it's been really hard. Yeah. So it's for Jarhead to like keep active was difficult for me, just with different parts of my life going on, and everybody else in Jarhead too, just different things happening all the time. So 6 years is a long time, and people were definitely like on me to get, because the LP had been written for like 3 years maybe before it was recorded. But people, and it finally got to the point where like I guess I got annoyed enough where I was like, all right, I will go record the album so everybody's like happy, you know. And it's definitely the best decision. I knew I would do it, but it's the best decision I ever made. I'm glad people were kind of like
pushing you on,
up my ass a little bit about it, because yeah, it got done and it came out exactly how I wanted. But the music is pretty, the older stuff is definitely much more like straightforward grindcore kind of, yeah, the more like noisy aspect of it, of maybe like Iron Lung slightly, like kind of, you know, influence Power Violence, and with like some West Coast style as well. You know, but the newer stuff is much more like of a death metal influence for sure. Yeah. There's still like some grind influence, definitely a decent amount on the record, but compared to the last stuff, it's definitely like pretty, you know, it's different for sure. It's definitely it's a little, I mean, everything's in the same tuning and everything. It's just that it's a little heavier for sure.
Yeah.
I think this is definitely the music we want to play. We used to play with two bass players. So there are our one guitar player, Brandon, he used to play bass as well. So we were one guitar player, two bass players, and, you know, me playing drums and doing vocals. But as time went on, I mean, we just decided to go with two guitars. It just sounded way better. And I'm glad for this record. It's the first one with two guitars rather than two bass players. I'd like to be in like the ignorant aspect of having two bass players and one guitar player, but yeah, in like the reality setting of sounding like, I guess, a good band, if I even care about that, is that's where, you know, we had to get two guitar players at least for this record. It was a good decision for sure.
It's curious as to why you would arrive at having two bass players anyway, like sonically. I mean, granted, you just kind of admitted that the ignorance part of it is part of the allure to you guys, but like, would one guy just cover the low ends, and then one guy cover the high low ends?
Is that one dude had a cleaner tone. One dude had like a very much dirtier tone. So it was definitely a lot like bass heavier driven music. It was basically, I mean, it's more of like an influence from like Man Is the Bastard or something in the early day, but we still wanted to have guitar in the band as well. We did make it work as best as we could. It just sonically was not the best decision, I think. And people liked it, and people were like, why did you get two guitars? But I'm glad. It sounds, it's much better, 100%.
Yeah, I can agree to that. I've been listening to it for the past like day and a half since the PR people gave me the record then. But you have a couple singles already out that probably people have already been listening to. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember the name off the top of my head without looking at it. Some like Narc.
Silence the Narc,
yeah. And then you got it's Product of My Environment. That's the title of the album, is it not?
Yeah, it's the title of the album, yeah.
I'm doing really well pulling these out of the top of my head. So the third one, I'm trying to remember it. Okay, we're going to pass on the third one. I'm blanking on it.
Baptized by Fire,
yes. That's the one. Is that the oldest one that you guys have had out?
That's the first one. Yeah.
I definitely noticed a drastic difference in sound, not in a negative way or a positive way, but definitely they're two different kinds of situations. Granted, like you said, they're 6 years apart. But yeah.
Also, my voice, I got deeper, so I can't really do highs like I used to. Like all the old vocals are like shrill high vocals. Mm-hmm. And then like something happened. Without like being very inactive in the band and not doing that for a while, I mean, it just like it went away completely, and that's cool. I mean, maybe it'll come back. I don't know. With practice, I guess. But
yeah, you're gonna have to work at it.
It's pretty much just it's all I can do. You know, mm-hmm. lows.
There's even a little bit of like a black metal kind of vibe to it. Then there's definitely grindcore parts to it again. And I think a lot of that comes through in your drumming, actually. There's a lot of like blast beat styled, you know, stuff going on the drums. And to where like the guitars may not be playing traditional grindcore type music, but you know, there's nuances all over the place of those three big genres, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. There's definitely, I mean, there's definitely an influence from everything. I don't know. For me, writing everything is also like, sometimes songs start just with drums, you know, without like the riffs being fully written. So like beats will be there, but the guitar part isn't necessarily what I'll have or like what I want at that time. And it'll be like tweaked in my head until it like gets perfect, which is like slightly different because I think some of the times like this album is much more groove based. Because I think most of it just starts strictly with like drums that I want to a certain style of riff that I have in mind. Maybe the riff isn't fully written yet. So like, sometimes like things will have like the drum part and the riff will be like half written and we'll still practice for like a long time until like it's like fully like, oh, I want it to be like exactly this. So it's kind of cool. It works in like an odd way, which I think most bands don't operate on sometimes.
Right. And do you guys,
my favorite records are written just by drummers, you know? So it's like, yeah.
Well, you being a drummer, I think that you would kind of lean that way in general.
Yeah. You know, there's something special maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. So when you say you write the whole album, do you write it with other people? Like, do you bounce ideas off of other people, and are there other people, the people that you have had that you have in the band per se right now? Or because when do you record it yourself as well? Do you record all the instruments yourself?
We record as a full band. Okay. We record as a full band. Because like I don't want to. It's not like I never try to make it seem like it's like just my band or like these guys give like. Push it out of the way because everybody like plays like a pretty important role at this point in the band, and it's like these are like we all grew up together, so like we're like the, you know, this is like the best friends band, like everybody loves each other in this band, and it's like it's just it was cool to start that like to be that way from the start basically. And yeah, but those dudes, I mean, no, it's they add stuff as well, like they'll like, especially like, you know, the guitarist, they'll bounce kind of like weird, you know, just different harmonic parts off each other and stuff like that. So they definitely add the things that I like present to them. You know, I like to think of it as like a Thin Lizzy situation more so, where it's kind of like, you know, Phil giving everybody like a stripped down part, and like it kind of builds more and more onto each time they practice, kind of deal.
You're just giving the building blocks to everything, like the foundation, and yeah. Everyone's building on top of that.
But also, I mean, they don't really like, I mean, we bounce ideas off each other. And if anybody was ever like, no, I don't want that to sound like this, or I don't like that, I don't like that riff, then like totally we wouldn't do it, you know? So it's not like, but I luckily they don't hate my ideas. So that's what's cool.
How did you fall into like, cause you know, Full of Hell is also very, you know, grindcore-y and a little bit of death metal, sludge metal and all over the place, power violence, all that stuff. How did you kind of fall into this, you know, crack of music, you know, just cause it's so extreme for the most part.
Yeah. I mean, since I was a kid, I've always I kind of grew up in a smaller town, at least like half, about like 10 years in Baltimore, then the rest of my life has been in Ocean City, Maryland. So the guitar player in Full of Hell, I started playing that band when I was 15. I did the first tour when I was 15. I was like still in high school. And like, I didn't tell my parents really hardly about it. Like, yeah, I was like, look, this band wanted me to go on tour. They kind of thought I was like joking. And then I was like, it was just like August and it was like 4 weeks. I was like, I'm going. And they were like, what are you talking about? No, you're not. I was like, all right. And I left, you know? So I went on that. I did that. Like I started doing that. And luckily from then it was nonstop pretty much after that. But I will say that like, I was into like punk and different stuff like that growing up. Just my dad kind of was into some cool music as well.
And Maryland's pretty much like a death metal zone too.
Yeah. Like, you know, maybe my dad was like listening to like, you know, just prom, like Slayer and things like this, like a lot of like thrash different stuff like that. And like the normal things like a Black Sabbath to like grow up on and things like that. But being so young, I was still into that. I was like the only drummer in the area basically. So the guitar player Full of Hell was probably 20 years old, I think. Yeah. He would have been like 20 at the time. So like really joining that early, he really like showed me a lot and you know definitely like opened my ears to that style of music, which has been basically like, you know, since then, obviously like the main genre. But I mean, I don't know, as time goes on, you get into so many different things, right. You know, like I still love like tons of jazz, things like that, you know. It's not just strictly grindcore necessarily for me. And it's not somehow, I guess Full of Hell's done a lot of other styles, right, of albums and stuff like that. But for Jarhead, I like it. Like, this is like my like grittiest style of whatever ignorant thing that I would like it to be at that time is gonna be, you know. It's a whatever I want band, basically.
Yeah, that's good. That's cool. Yeah, it's cool. You have an outlet, you know, you can throw in like any kind of gimmicky thing you want to, and no pushback, because it's not your band technically, but your band.
Yeah. No, the next album will be a split with a rapper.
Nice.
Which is TBA, you know.
Okay. So, do you have a timeline on that? Because obviously...
There's no timeline necessarily, just because of, you know, like, we're writing, but I'm writing. But it's like COVID has kind of thrown a big wrench in my life for sure, you know.
So speaking of COVID and all that shit, obviously you've had time to work on Jarhead stuff because it's mainly you. But have you and the other guys gotten together or done anything as far as for Full Hell?
Yeah, we just did an LP. We just recorded in Rhode Island at Machines with Magnets. That I think will probably be out sometime in the summertime, I'd imagine. But that's like a solo LP for Relapse. And we also did, while we were recording that, like a live set for Decibel as well. So those two things, that's the last two things. Full of Hell has definitely been active. Jarhead has been, still as active as we can be really with this. We'll do a music video as well soon. And then I have other plans of, Full of Hell, probably like at least music wise, we still have like a couple, like one other thing in the works as well, that we're going to go record for. But for Jarhead, yeah, we're just doing that music video. And then I had plans of doing a solo drum album in the summertime. That's like the last thing that I have plans. And hopefully something will, you know, by like wintertime next year, there will be like some sort of hope for maybe a tour somewhere.
Right, but at some point sometime,
you know, I don't like to like be like, oh, this is, you know. But that's, everybody is like, you know, it's one of those things where you just book a tour and then it's like, all right, we'll cancel it when it comes time to do it. So like if November rolls around and we can't do said tour, we'll just, you know, wait until the next one comes around, I guess, whenever that might be. But you know, hopefully there's like some eye-opening shit that might happen, you know, in this Disney last time.
That would be good. But I'm kind of starting to think we may be pushing it back to next year even.
That's fucking crazy.
I mean, you guys would know more than me because you guys actually deal in that industry and you would be talking with people in that industry and knowing.
I mean, right now, like, it seems like even the bigger bands, it's like November seems to be the end of November seems to be the awakening of when you can tour, but it's so hard to say at this point. Like,
yeah, just like you said, you book it and then
you hope. But like, it's like, is live music going to be changed forever? Like, are there going to be restrictions in certain countries for what you can do or how many people can come still for a while? Like, I don't know. It can be fucked up other places, maybe not US, but probably not US, but everywhere else, there might be some restrictions that are, you know, there permanently. I don't know.
Oh, you mean permanently?
I don't know. Maybe not permanently, but maybe even for like a year or two. You know,
right. Like limited gatherings for a year or so.
Limited gatherings, or like, it's hard. It's so hard to say.
Or they just go like whole 1984 and you have to have your little vaccination card with you all the time.
That's what I'm saying. That might be a thing. Certain countries, I think, kind of probably want to do that. You know, I don't know.
Well, I know Live Nation has been definitely, and I don't want to say definitely, but I've heard Live Nation has been toying with the idea of possibly making that a thing to attend their events.
Yeah, which like especially the corporate places and shit like that. I bet you, you know, not but like bigger like companies like that. You know,
yeah, for sure, not like small like bar club venues or something like that.
Yeah, right? They want people, so I'm sure they'll do whatever they can at this point.
They've been hurting for a long time, and it'll be at that point. They are doing some events like here in Florida. Like I previously told you, I was from Florida, and we've been pretty much open the entire time. But they've been doing.
I heard it's been very open. Like bars have been like, there's some bars that still just don't even care in this area. It's really pretty crazy.
Nice. Get the old traditional ringer.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, so we've been open for a while, and they are starting to do like comedy events are starting to come here, and it is limited seating though in those, so. It was funny. The last podcast I recorded with Brandon Sacrifice, I asked, what are some things that you think will carry over that were positive from COVID that bands are doing now that may carry over for when the restrictions and all that stuff let up and touring resumes?
I'm sorry. What'd you say again? this phone call really.
No, like, you're good. We were talking about some of like the negative. The negative takeaways probably from COVID that may be in, you know, like with the restrictions and blah, blah, blah going forward. But with Brandon Sacrifice, I was talking with him about what are some of the positive things that may come from, you know, this whole pandemic with bands having to kind of like rethink how to have income streams and revenue come in.
Yeah. I mean, I guess like, damn, it's crazy. I mean, the only positives, I don't know. I like the live setting. So for me, like any of the digital shit is like, I mean, that's like a cool plus, I guess, if you can add that or figure out more of a way to like incorporate that into your band. But for me, I'm like, I'd rather just play live. I mean, always 100%, you know, and like maybe you have more time to throw into recording, or maybe you have this time to take off for practicing and you get a little better at your instrument. That's a positive. But like, for me, like the most positive thing out of like writing any of the music is playing it live, because like recording is cool and all, but it's really like live is the best thing, and the more people the better. So like I only want to play to more people. I mean, that's not important to me. Like I'll play like one person, that's cool, but obviously like, you know, it's no like secret that like if there's more people at your show, you're probably going to be more you're going to be happy.
Well, you're also the vibe is just going to be better. You're feeding off of more people and the performance is better.
Yeah, like it's live is always the best. I mean, so for me, I don't know. I mean, there is a couple positives, like the practicing and stuff like that, that aspect, and like the throwing a little bit more time into writing. But I don't know. This time is out of this COVID shit, it's hard for me to pull any positives out of this situation for the most part. You know, it's like it's a pretty negative time. I don't know. It's like, I mean, I try to pull positive shit out of it, but it's all of it to me. I'm like, damn, all of this is pretty fucking.
It's definitely harsh. Been a bummer, you know, it is.
Yeah.
Because we've, as you are accustomed to being at shows and playing shows and attending shows, I am as well. And like, it really took, and we usually do these podcasts in person, you know what I mean? Up until the pandemic. So when bands would come to town, they would just come over and, you know, we would just record a podcast. So I prefer that as well compared to this. But with the gap that's been this year of no shows, it really affects you if you attend shows regularly. You know what I mean? Like whether it be an attendee or a performer. But like, damn. It, you know, it's just something that I've always done for most of my adult life, ever since I was like a teenager. You know, I started going to shows.
Yeah.
And it just became a thing. It came like a part of me all the time. So like, even as an adult, I still go to like small, you know, small bar shows and shit and see like up and coming bands or, you know, big festivals. So,
I mean, this is like the biggest part of my life. I mean, I based my entire life like on this, you know what I mean? So to be able to like, it's not that I can't do it, because obviously there's ways, like you said, that you can find to like, you know, still create and still do things. But for me, I mean, it's more than half of it is the live. So like to have that kind of ripped away, it's like, it's annoying, if anything, you know, that's what I'd say, like the most, the, it sucks and it's annoying, you know. There's no good part about this shit, right. You know. It's just it is what it is, though.
How difficult is it for you to juggle both bands, and is anyone else in the band also in it? Just like, obviously they probably are in a different band since Jarhead isn't your full time thing, but I know, yeah. Sam is also in Full of Hell. So,
yeah, Sam's also, and our other guitar player, Brandon, is the ex bass player of Full of Hell, okay, before Sam. So it is three members from Full of Hell in this band. Yeah. But it hasn't been that hard because Jarhead's been so inactive for a while. But I think when everything, I don't know, I'd like to say go back to normal, you know, but in this like fairy world where everything goes back to normal, yeah, I think it's gonna be pretty hard to juggle, you know, both. But also Spencer has another band, iFlies, and Dylan has he's in a couple projects, but he has another band with Spencer called Sore Dream that just released a record today as well, which is sick. So there's still a lot of side projects that go on, I guess, between those dudes as well. But yeah, juggling both, it'll be slightly difficult, I think. But I really just want to tour. So like, as soon as I'm able to just do that, that's cool with me. It's just full time doing that and not having to think, you know, about working a regular job or something when I come home. I'd rather be gone. It's better for me, at least, you know.
Yeah. When you're home working regular jobs, what kind of, you know, stuff are you kind of doing?
So I do like anything. I mean, like, I have like a lot of, at least like any jobs really. I'm construction, you know, I end up working a lot of like construction and remodeling, shit like that. And then also I do some retail stuff, like high end sunglasses on we got like a boardwalk. I'm like 10 minutes away from the beach. So I also work sometimes at like a high end sunglass shop on the beach, you know, in the summertime.
Nice. Yeah.
So like between that, there's a lot that I've a few other things, you know. There's always like four ways I'm making money no matter what.
Right.
You know, like I can't like sleep at night without having like other forms of income coming in at certain points. It bothers me, you know.
No, so yeah,
have to do it.
But, usually dudes in bands are very resourceful and they usually end up doing something, you know, relative with
resourceful for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of which, you were saying earlier you have a pretty wild life. So like I kind of wanted to talk enough about the music before we kind of delve into that, but I guess, you know, I'm curious now because we got off topic with like the job situation and you being resourceful, so I'd like to dive into the wild life of David Bland.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, my family is really crazy. I just, you know, my pops is a wild guy. He was like, you know, like a lot of the album, it's crazy. So my dad just died of COVID last week.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Sorry about that, man.
No, it's all good. It's all good. I was even thinking about canceling this podcast, but I was like, no way. Like he's real supportive of what I do, so it's cool to like at least, you know, hash it out.
Damn,
his funeral is actually tomorrow. It's fucked up. So weird. It like coincides with a record release. It's like,
oh wow.
It's very odd things. I like, it's just weird how shit plans out like that. Very weird. A lot of the record is also like lyric wise about him, so he's a crazy guy. Just the escape prison.
Wow.
That would have been, I mean, this is before I was born, but the escape prison from South Carolina, then went out down to New Orleans and helped run like one of the biggest escort services in New Orleans. And that ended up getting, the whole thing went down, and like the other main guy of this, you know, escort service, you know, threw everybody under the bus. So my dad ended up getting like a long, long time in prison. I mean, like 13 years total.
Wow.
Like in maximum, which is wild because like the whole thing got popped. So he was, you know, hit for that. But wow, what a crazy guy. It's like his life story is just wild. And yeah, he's in jail with like bodyguarding, like serial killers, wow. You know, watching like, you know, I mean, he's had a wild life for sure. He was an interesting guy. He was like, best guy I've known, just from how crazy and interesting. I wish, like, you know, I'd always told him, like, man, I'd be sick if you did, like, a fucking radio show, a podcast, just explain everything that, like, hash out everything that went down. But, you know, times tell, I guess, you know,
yeah, situation. Yeah, for sure,
you know, but there's a lot of, like, lyrical things based around just his past, at least that comes out like on that record, you know. A lot of things are like mainly me watching, like, you know, like a guy crumble because of his past, you know. What I mean, because that shit eventually comes back up. Like, I never knew about it half my life, and then it was like, boom, one day you find out like the hardest way, you know. Like, yeah, like a corrupt state marshal come to my house in Maryland from South Carolina. This dude, like, erased his file. Came and they raided the house. That's like how I found out my dad was like, oh, like, they were all my whole life. They're like, he never went to prison, you know?
Right.
Boom. Like, I mean, everything, I was young, so everything like didn't make sense to me. But then I was like, okay. So they took him away for like a month, man, pay all these crazy court fees and jail fees and shit like that, and like embarrassed the fuck out of him just to be like, oh, yeah, you did serve your time, you know, we fucked up. And it was like,
right,
the most wild shit I've ever seen. Like, it's still, I can still find, there's like a video, like, they dressed him up in like black and white stripes. Like, they don't do that shit right to nobody. Like, right. This isn't 19 fucking 20, you know, like, there's, who does that? You know, they got to walk like the news, wait for him, like, oh, black and white, like, yeah, escaped convict caught after 20 years. It's like, yeah, you know, it makes a whole lot of sense. But I don't know, there's a lot of crazy shit in my family that goes on, you know. Just dealing with, I guess, like, my whole family's from Baltimore, so it's really like, it's sometimes
your environment. Like,
yeah. Sometimes people I guess, you know, you just grow up seeing crazy shit. It just depends family to family. I think everybody that's probably grew up there, at least that's not like some very high income person, has probably seen like a lot of wild ass shit. Just even, like, spending fucking like 10 years there, you see something crazy.
It's, you like know? The it's Wire, just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you know, there's a sample from The Wire on the record as well.
Which one is that?
An End to Your Sacred World. That's that song.
What's the Sins Aren't?
Oh man, I'm having a brain fart.
Is that the Narc? Is that the Annihilate the Narc or whatever? Is that
Silence of the Narc? Yeah, that's on Silence of the Narc. Yeah, that's from Mean Streets. Sorry, we like the mafia movies. The first sample, which is like lowered, is a Departed sample. It's like Jack Nicholson saying in the beginning.
I'm not a product of my anxiety. My anxiety is a product of me.
A product of my environment.
Oh, okay.
Product to be.
Okay. I thought it was just saying anxiety, but then I was like, why? Yeah, that makes sense that the title would be product of your environment. But
yeah.
So you guys are big on samples, huh?
I like samples. Yeah. You know, there's a little bit of like some like. Well, I mean, I just like samples in general, but there's like some Mortician-esque. There's a Mortician cover on this record, so. Yeah, I mean, there's like that kind of vibe comes from like the samples, but they're using more like horror samples and stuff like that, like mainly just horror samples and murder samples and shit. I don't know. It's kind of similar like that. I also like a lot of the West Coast power violence stuff. So a lot of that grindcore world is using more like thug samples and stuff like that, which I've kind of, you know, half mafia, half thug samples.
Speaking of thug samples, and not to like, I don't know, just you're bringing up like an urban vibe with like more of a hip hop situation. The artwork on the album is kind of like graffiti-esque. So when you kind of seem to live in both worlds, you know what I mean? Like moonlight in both the heavy and the, I hate saying urban, but like hip hop rap side.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a song on there that's, there's a song, I mean, it's called Agony Churning. That one is like supposed to be more of like a slow down, like DJ Screw style vibe or something, which is mainly samples and stuff playing with just like a steady drum beat kind of, but real lowered and real bass heavy. There's definitely like a hip hop vibe. I have plans for Jarhead, at least to eventually even record just a full DJ Screw style, just slow rap album. You know, that's all. There's a lot of other stuff to do. What's that?
Are you going to do the rapping?
No, I just like rapper? The samples and stuff. You know, I'm not a rap. I'll feature people. All right. Right. But I like the beats.
Yeah. You'll just be the, you guys can be like the death metal DJ Khaled.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So do you listen to like different shit like all day long? Like, you know, you're
obviously. I listen to a lot of jazz and stuff, but I mean, I'm listening to all kinds of shit, rap and stuff.
Who you listen to right now? In general, not just in one genre, but in general.
In general, I mean, there's a lot of just weird shit I also like listen to. I'm listening to like, right now, a lot of like Sam Cooke, The Meters, mm-hmm. Some weird like old like funk stuff like that, you know, Sun Ra, like Alice Coltrane, and I don't know, there's a bunch of other stuff. I also like, you know, I like a lot of like, at least for newer rappers, like some of the Griselda people are pretty cool, you know. Conway the Machine and stuff like that, but I like a lot of weird shit like Ween, you know. Yeah,
the soft side to you.
Yeah, that's my soft side. I mean, besides that, I don't know, there's other cool things. I like the Bug a lot. The Bug is cool, like electronic stuff. I don't know, I guess probably I listen a lot less metal, you know, the last couple of months. Yeah. My life.
I was gonna say, like, what
I still like certain bands. There's still classic bands I still listen to, like, you know, Immolation, stuff like that. Right. There's still plenty of classic.
There's also definitely a point when you've kind of realized you've just immersed yourself in certain genres for a long period of time. And like being in a band, you can definitely do that. That's why like most bands, when they're listening to music in the van on tour, it's something like completely different off the wall than like what they play or
I'm obsessed with drummer albums too. So, I mean, a lot of times I'm just waking up, just throwing that on while I'm doing shit around the house, you know, stuff like that. Tony Williams, Billy Cobham, a lot of the new Full of Hell stuff is like, there's some like jammy parts in it too. So a lot of influence from the drums is mainly just, it's a ton of, you know, that style of drumming. Really, Tony Williams is like a god to me. So, you know,
did you just hear that as a kid and like got attracted to it? Or like, how did you get into or did you just like that music after getting into the drums?
Yeah, I just like drummers, you know? So, I mean, like Tony Williams just being Miles Davis' drummer is the only reason I really like. Eventually you just stumble across it after watching, you know, classic videos. Same thing with like Billy Cobham and other, a lot of other, you know, people that are just around that world. You just get on YouTube and then it's like, across anything after that. It's all related for the most part. So a lot of it's like, you know, you end up finding out cool things. And for me, beats, I'm like, are always really interesting. So the more I like the beat, the person presenting the beat, the more I like whatever group or whatever thing he does after that, you know?
Right. So it's like a gateway into that person's other stuff.
Yeah, And there's so many good drummers, you know, like, and there's so many good bands that I think that, I don't know, even simple rock bands that drummers make the band better just because of the way they play, mm-hmm. which is cool to me.
Yeah.
I just like watching people, how they play.
Yeah, even some easy sounding songs. They're just the new, like the small nuances make them like really complex, you know?
Yeah, man. There's tons of drummers that do it well.
One of my favorite albums is Worship and Tribute by Glassjaw.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And years after it came out, I found out that the drummer for Godsmack was the drummer on that album.
Godsmack does some cool shit. They got the fucking, like, the singer and the drummer. They get together. Right. Shit. When I was a kid, I loved fucking Godsmack when I was young. Our first album came out, I was like, and that's the new metal for me. You know, I was young enough where that was pretty, opened me up to a lot of other things. So
I definitely grew up in the new metal scene too.
Mm-hmm, when I was absolutely. My dad gave me he loved new metal, so he just gave me like a stack of new metal CDs. I got everything, you know, when I was like 10. I was like,
what? Yeah. So, I was going to ask, it's like what your dad was listening to, but it sounds like he kind of was your main influence.
You know, like a lot of thrash. It's like basically like half thrash, half new metal and everything like that you can think of.
A lot of Machine Head in that house?
Yeah, he like Machine Head. Yeah. He love, I mean, but like also like typical stuff like, you know, Korn, some mm-hmm. Slipknot, shit like that. At that point, it was still popular.
Yeah.
He likes Sepultura as well. He gave me through me a CD when I was a kid.
It's really cool to see like the kids that are growing up listening to that music make music yeah. now. So, because they, you know, obviously they don't want to make that exact music, and, you know, other genres have become big as well after new metal and after that era of rock. And yeah. but it has those nuances, like they take the new music and mix it with those nuances, and it's really cool. Some of the
yeah, nuances. it's cool just because I think those dudes would, I mean, obviously they're listening to good music while they're playing, you know, making what it is that they were making at that time, you know. So it's like there's definitely things I think that come through that are like, maybe I wasn't catching on then, but I'll listen to now and I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You like some cool stuff. You know?
Well, I will say this. After I found out about, you know, Godsmack's drummer doing the drums on Worship and Tribute, I was like, well, I can't hate Godsmack as much now.
You know? Yeah.
But it's cool. So, yeah, man. What's on the horizon for, you know, Jarhead as soon as you can? Like, what's in the plan since you released your album? You're releasing your album tomorrow.
Yeah, man. My next time, I mean, my plan really is like, we're going to do a music video. Besides the music video, we're really just, there'll probably be a couple from this record. Next thing is it'll be a split with somebody, you know, whether it's rapper, whether it's band, there'll be another record for sure. Like recorded by summertime. But, cool. I want to do the first, like, as soon as I can, do a DIY tour, you know, I mean, as soon as things shape up like slightly, if we could be the first people to do it, it'd be amazing, you know. But I guarantee that I'll do a DIY tour immediately, as even if we get like a limited chance, like we can have limited shows, like right. I will 100% immediately, as that is available, a Jarhead of will hopefully tour before Full of Hell does, you know, just because Full of Hell's, I think we'll probably, if that happens, we'll probably wait it out and do something else. You know, I want Jarhead to like, as soon as available, even if it's limited, I still want to just
right, get out
tour
there.
As soon as I can, you know?
Well, you may have to do that, like just avoid certain states. And I was going to say, I think like again, Florida, you may even be able to play Florida now. I don't know. I'm not completely sure as to, you know, what the situation is, but
I'm hoping by summer we have like an idea of like what we can do, you know, and if that is even like slightly like in the foresight of like we can play like even a few states, we'll do it, yeah. You know, immediately. And I would love to be the first band to like come back on the tour, you know, even if people are mad about it.
Of course.
You know?
Yeah. I was going to say, you're definitely going to have like a bullseye on you if you get out there
first. Hey, look, if somebody can have, let me have limited shows, then fuck. Okay.
Yeah. What about when you say DIY tour, like do you guys book your own tours, or like does Closed Casket help out with Jarhead stuff for that?
So I think, I mean, in the next, it's just so hard to say what's gonna happen, but I think Jarhead will get a booking agent, you know, after this. We have like a decent amount of options. I think it just depends really on, really, like this, it's not just be releasing a record after it having such like a hiatus for the most part. It's crazy to not be able to tour in a song that you release. You know, that's like, it's a scary thing almost. But this being our first LP, I don't think it does any damage necessarily.
No, a lot of people are listening to music right now too. You know what I mean? A lot of albums have done better probably with coming out in the pandemic, because more people are at home, more people are listening to stuff, so
they got that stimulus,
that
know?
Too, yeah, that too.
These kids at work from jobs.
How did you guys link up with Closed Casket?
So Justin manages Full of Hell. He's been the manager for a little while.
Okay.
So this is the best option we could have chose for anyone releasing the record, just because I think Justin's an amazing guy and
understands really, the vision.
Yeah. He understands everything. He's close with us as well. Plus he's good at his job. He does really well and he cares. Whereas sometimes you see other people fade off of what they're doing and be overwhelmed. It's a very overwhelming position to be in.
For sure.
But he kills. I mean, he kills it in every aspect, you know, everything he does. So, you know.
Awesome.
Hats off to him, really. Yeah, it's the best option. And plus, it's like when you're friends with somebody that's doing it for you, it makes it that much easier. And when there's no complaint to ever be had, then it really makes it it's the best option we could have ever had for our first LP, especially. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing.
That's great. So to round it out here, what are some albums that came out last year that you've enjoyed from the year 2020?
Shit.
Feel free to look at your phone for any
that's
reference.
That's what I'm going on right now. Damn, it's a hard one. I never have these lists prepared, so it's like...
Yeah, I know. I kind of want to just see whatever pops in your head for the most part, but...
I know.
You've been listening to too much old music. That's the problem.
That's what I'm telling you. It's an issue. And it's like when you try to think about something new that came out that you're like, wow, I really loved this.
You know? Right. And certain things just make you want to listen to the other thing, you know, what you've been listening to in general. That's the hard thing about listening to music sometimes. Sometimes I find a band and they sound like one way. And then I'm like, well, I'll just go listen to that instead. Like the band.
I'm only listening to old music. I've got like, not, you know, I mean, the new Body record that just came out, I love it. Mm-hmm. As of new records, it's pretty hard for me to like give anything just because that's been that's the best one. I'll leave it at one.
And there you go. Boom. The Body. Check it out, kids. All right, man. Well, David, I greatly appreciate it, man. And again, sorry about what's going on in your life. And, you know, we appreciate you for going through with this, man. And the best for you and your family going forward, obviously. But hopefully next time we meet, we'll meet in person and we'll be sitting on the couch having another one of these talks. And we'll be able to talk about how nice it is to tour with Jarhead, you know.
Yeah, and more weed.
There you go. Yes, that too. We'll both. Yeah, we can both bring some. We'll kick in together.
I have it somewhere.
Yeah. Well, not if you're listening. Don't follow the tour, the Full of Hell van or the Jarhead Fertilizer van. They don't have anything.
No, nothing.
All right, man. Well, take it easy. And again, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.